Okay, we are recording.
Okay, this is about a minute before 6 on February 15th, and I call this monthly meeting of the NAA Board to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Secretary Holland.
Here.
All present.
Okay. So. So, public input as it pertains to this evening's agenda.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, I have a letter of appreciation to the authority. I'd like to present to you, and it's great if you would permit me to read it into the record.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. I hand this to the secretary, who's a long reach. Mr. Chairman and members of the authority, on behalf of Bob Drury and all of us at Master Jet Aviation, we'd like to extend our appreciation and gratitude to the National Airport Authority, Chris Lynch, Susan, Joe, Eldon, for the tremendous help and support extended to us while Bob Drury was retired. Your aid and assistance and the generous assistance by Infinity Aviation, Greg Wieson and Bobby LeMay, Kevin, Logan, and the entire crew were invaluable in seeing us through this difficult time, allowing us to provide uninterrupted service to our customers. We thank you.
Thank you,
Shane. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. PowerPoint.
And do you have public input tonight as it pertains to the agenda? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of January 18, 2023.
Look for the motion to approve the January 18, 2023 minutes.
I'll second that. Any discussion? Okay. All those who approve of the NAA public minutes of January 18, 2023 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Although maybe it could be a roll call since I'm remote. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yes, would you take the roll, please?
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes. Thanks, Chris.
Yes. Good catch, Jessica. Thank you. Okay, Treasurer's report. Approval of the January 2023 financial statements subject to audit.
Okay, then. Moment you've all been waiting for. I just want to go over a quick few things. That the first part of the financials is the balance sheet. Susan and I had an accounting party the other day. It was a lot of fun. And we went through all the numbers.
You don't have to say that, we know.
I know. But I just want to run on the balance sheet really real quick. Some of it has to do with audit investments. The auditors are done. They have made investments, and Susan has put those investments into our books, which of course should not affect this year's operations, the income piece, but it does affect the balance sheet and prior earnings. So the first part of the receivables, you'll see that the normal operating receivables is $83,026. And that's usually a lot lower. There's an additional $57,000 in there that was I believe it's a leftover COVID grant or CARES Act. It's basically for operational reimbursement of expenses. And it's one of those things you have to submit for reimbursement and then get the money. So that's been done. I think there was an estimate in last year's books of $50,000.
Yeah.
It actually came through at $57,000. And I'll get to the other part in a few minutes. But so of the $83,000, $57,000 of that is a receivable from the state, from the DOT that's been submitted about a week ago or so, Susan?
Yes, it was finally all approved, and Chris did sign a couple of documents today to change the date, and that
okay.
Everything should be ready to go.
Okay, good. The next line is projects, constable project, where we've actually submitted for reimbursement to the state. For basically, I believe those are projects 23 and 26. There's leftovers on 23, right?
The project account receivable, that's just for, I believe, project 26.
No, what's your No, 23 was tax redesign only, correct?
Okay. So 26 would be the golf thing?
The golf.
Reimbursement request that we just.
That's for the golf ring.
Yeah.
Reimbursement number one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That 184 is for golf.
That's all of it?
That's
so there's nothing left over for 23 for the
design
only. No,
we got
those. Oh, that's right. We paid that last month.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Okay, good. So anyway, okay, 184 is for project 2026, which is the golf ramp. Then further down the balance sheet, you can see a big number, $7,098,000. This is a new pronouncement put out by our friends at the accounting board, and where we have to capitalize all of the leases we have now. And you'll see on the flip side that there's a liability on the other side of that is deferred. So basically, you add up the present value of all the leases we have, it equals $7 million. So then further down, you'll see some accounts payable project, which obviously once we get the money from the submission that we sent in, we will pay off those payables. $11,000 just in the right for payables. So on the next page, the deferred, this is the GASB 68, which, I'm sorry, is the deferred revenue on the leases. That's the flip side of the $7 million. This is basically the deferred revenue piece of that. Of that pronouncement. So it has a very minimal effect on the balance sheet as a whole. Then under the income statement, we already talked about that, the first couple items. So down in the fixed assets, you'll see a lot of swings there. What that is all about, those are primarily the auditor's adjustments, and where they move things out of construction and process and put them into improvements. They also calculate the depreciation of the assets that on hand, of the in-service assets, and that was $1.6 million of depreciation, which we don't book until after the end of the year, until after the audit is done. Another audit adjustment was the retainage, $200,000 that went away, just that those projects were closed and paid. So that's pretty much it for the balance sheet. I'm going to move down a little bit to the comparative and skip over the normal production income statement. Go down to the comparative ones with the comparative budget. There's just a few things of note in the revenue side. You'll see $7,000 of miscellaneous income. That's the difference between the $50,000 that we estimated for that grant in 2022 that we recorded and the actual amount when we actually submitted the reimbursement of $57,000. So the difference is booked in this year. That's what the $7,000 is for. So basically $50,000 booked last year, $7,000 booked this year for the one grant. Snow removal income, I guess we had two storms. That's what was actually billed. You know, we're anticipating a few more, but that's okay. We didn't have them. That's all right. So that's on the revenue side. So then going down, a couple of things of note here. The building grounds and maintenance account. $34,000 year to date. Most of that, or good, not most of it, over half of it is the PFAS expenses. The other good sized chunk is about $6,000 or $7,000 related to the painting of the building. And everything else is just normal maintenance stuff. You know, that's partially offset by the vehicle repairs and maintenance, which is a little bit less than we anticipated. So there's some pluses and minuses there. So at the end of the day, there's also, just again of note, the diesel the fuel that we're burning is a little bit higher than we thought, but it's just about even, which is probably because we haven't had the storms. So we haven't been burning a lot of diesel. But the cost, of course, is going up significantly. So anyway, at the end of the day, we've got a surplus year to date of 13,000, which is in excess of budget by about 8,000. So that's it for the financial. It's through January.
Quick question on the fuel flowage.
Yep.
We're off by our interim budget, or by more than 50%. Is that just a weather thing? Is that just
Yeah, we plowed two storms.
Yeah.
Versus usually by about this time, 7 or 8.
Well, I mean, the fuel flowage fees on the income side.
Oh, the flowage. I'm sorry.
I was just curious about this. Is that an anomaly or is that a budget?
I don't understand, Joe. It's just about even.
Sorry, am I looking at a variance?
It's for the month. It was
for the month.
December was down.
Yeah.
I'll
answer the question.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
We budgeted 7,000 for the month and we accrued 3,100.
It was definitely down. Some of it had January.
Our January financials.
Your January financials, though, are based upon the December
flows.
Okay.
Right, so you don't receive that money until January, but it represents December's activity. And your flowage actually isn't based upon, just so you guys understand, it's actually based upon the loads we buy.
Right.
It's not necessarily based upon what goes out. So if we happen to get two loads in the beginning of January, you know, you won't see that until next month. And that was part of it. That actually is one of the things that happened. We got a couple loads, and you know, the holidays. And the timing of the storm relative to the holidays kind of worked out in a strange sense, but it was a load.
So it's really about supply in instead of usage out?
Correct.
Yeah, well, just understand, I think Greg brings up a point worth repeating, because you know, we're always trying to reconcile, well, gee, how come our operations are down but our fuel flows up for a given month or for a given period of time? There's no correlation.
Right.
There's almost
the month always, they're all, the those numbers are a month off.
There's a trend. There could be a trend, but there's no correlation between the two. So, as Greg mentioned, the fuel flow is based on what goes in their fuel farm, the fuel farm.
Not
that's the timing thing there. Not what actually goes into the aircraft. So
just curious. Everybody make sense then.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Put more forth a motion to approve the financials? Are you done?
I'm done.
Done.
Yes.
Any more discussion on the January financials? Okay, so Chris, would you please call the roll?
Okay. Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. That brings us to communications, and looks like we've got
next Thursday, I believe it is, the 23rd.
Okay.
I just have a question about this. Is this normal?
The EPA inspecting
fuel fire?
This is the first time.
It's normal in the industry. They haven't done this one, they claim, ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
Why now?
It's just, I couldn't tell you.
Are there other New Hampshire airports also getting inspected?
I have no idea. We had a client in Maine get the same notification. Picture like an IRS audit. There's a random select airport.
I'm sure it's semantics for the big oil tanks, but I mean, yeah, they
if you read all the SPC stuff, it always refers to oil tanks. Yep.
Okay. And we just entered into the record Shane's thank you note. Appreciate that. And yeah. And that brings us to Tower's report. And it looks like for the month of January, 4,052 operations, that's down 77 from December of 2022, 15% loss there. Year over year, down 258 or 6%. And next up, airport manager.
Okay. Upcoming events. We started planning the Summer Fun 2023 Wheels and Wings event, tentatively scheduled for the 23rd of September. There is a possibility that the city moves it to the weekend before, but they just haven't made that decision yet. Other items of interest, the 20...
I'm sorry, I'm not on the event thing. I know that the commemorative Air Force had an instance. Are they... They're not scheduled to come back for a while, right?
They have not reached out for this year, no.
Yeah.
I don't know what the status is on their events as a whole.
Right. I was just wondering what's going on there.
Other items, on the 24th of January, I met with DOT, FAA, and Gale Associates, and we had a land acquisition scoping meeting. I believe Matt will speak a little more about that when Matt from Gale Engineering speaks. We're trying to acquire a piece of land, the treed lot, adjacent to the Brickhanger parking lot. And again, Matt will speak about that. On the first of this month, I attended a meeting at National Community College for the Aviation Workforce Advisory Board, which I am on now. We'll be meeting quarterly, trying to advise them on their aviation programs. They're also, not only do they have the AMT program, they're looking at picking up an air traffic control program from SNU. So there could be some exciting news in the future there. Also on the first, met with Matt Caron and Mr. Nye Coe via virtual meeting to discuss hangar development at Nashua. Again, Matt will be speaking on Mr. Coe's behalf this evening, present his potential project. We've had several meetings with Mr. Coe in the past, and he's now under contract with Gale Associates. On the third, National Community College students and faculty associated with the AMP program came in towards the Nashua Airport, and we had a little tour of the Nashua Airport Authority maintenance facility. So they learned not only about airplanes, but what else goes on at the airport, and et cetera. And I guess several other businesses hosted them that day as well. They have about, I think there were 7 people enrolled in the course, and some faculty came through as well. On the 6th, I presented the airport's capital funds request, the airport sponsor matching funds request to the City of Nashua Capital Improvement Committee. I put a package on each of the director's desks. You can see what I had asked for. You can look at that after if you like. That went well. I think it went well. I spoke to a couple people afterwards. I'm actually going to set up a tour for one of the people on the planning board. After that meeting, he decided he wanted to come toward the airport, so get a little interest from the city officials. And I always offer that toward everybody down there, and I'm glad somebody's taking me up on it, so we can share the airport. On the 8th, I met with Greg from Infinity and Bob Rennie, and we reviewed the SPCC, which is the Spill Prevention Control and Countermeasure Plan, and this is associated with the upcoming EPA inspection of the fuel farm. As you, most of you know, that Infinity leases the fuel farm from the Airport Authority, but the Airport Authority technically owns it. So we're joining forces for the inspection. I've also asked Nick to join us from Gale Associates. And in our pre-review of everything, we found that we have some deficiencies in the SPCC. It's an old plan. It was developed, I believe it was 91, when the fuel farm came into existence. and things have changed, and it needs some updating, and we're going to work on that. And, you know, we spoke with Joe Canzano from the EPA, and he pointed out a couple other things in it that we need to update, so we're going to all work together and get that going. And that's about it. We had a major water problem here at the airport today. Somebody hit and ran a fire hydrant, and that kind of caused a little chaos for a little bit, but Penichuk was really good. The fire department came out. They got it all shut down in a matter of minutes, and they had the airport back up and running, I'd say, within 40 minutes.
Where was the hydrant?
Right on the corner of the entrance behind the airport authority, gate 12. Not the first time it's been hit. So they took care of that. It's all repaired, I believe, at this time.
Who hit it?
Hit and run. They don't know. They thought it was a tractor trailer.
Wasn't a Kia.
It wasn't a Kia, because there would have been a lot of parts on the road. So anyways, there's a shutoff right there for that, just for that hydrant, so they're able to isolate it and get the airport back up and running really quick. We have video if anyone wants to see it. It's pretty interesting. that's about it. Anybody have any questions?
We heard anything from, forget the name of the engineering firm, who's taking care of the PFAS?
Yes, and they were supposed to have a report to us coming up shortly. They sent another bill and said that they would have some reports for us.
Yes,
regarding the testing that they had done.
Okay. I've noticed that NHDES has started billing us too for their service.
Okay. Did I hear or read somewhere that there might be some funds available?
Some remediation funds, potentially, yeah.
That would sure be nice.
Do you know much about that program yet?
No, because I think, you know, according to DES, last we spoke with DES, there is no remediation yet.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting that these things are coming out. I was on the site today, and the site's getting a little more elaborate to deal with the PFAS, and there's a lot of reading to be done, but I was on it today looking at some of it.
Okay.
And they did mention remediation. So let's see what the reports come up with, and is there something to remediate, or is it just rainwater raining PFAS down?
Convenient source of, you know, income for DES, for the engineering firms that they designate. The gift that keeps on taking.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Chris this evening? Okay. Well,
nothing for me. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, we have no committees at the moment. Brings us to old business. And this evening, we have Greg Leeson and City Aviation. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jed came in with that one.
Yeah. Skipping over engineers. Please go ahead. Okay.
They were quiet, too.
Well, I give the ceremony. Nick Ippolito for the recording. Gail is administering, what are we up to now? Four projects on behalf of the authority. The first update is on the taxiway alpha rebid. The pre-bid conference was held on Wednesday, February 1st. Both Continental Paving and Sargent Corp were in attendance. Bids for the project are scheduled to be opened on February 28th. We worked with NHDOT and FAA to add the two remaining halogen signs on the airfield, the Foxtrot and Golf taxiway signs, to the project by addendum, so those will now be replaced with newer LED signs. That way everything on the airfield is LED now. You don't have those mixed lighting technologies. And once we open the bids, we will notify the authority of the apparent low bidder and apply for the grant to fund the project. I'm assuming that the board would need to make a motion to award the contract, is that correct? So at next month's meeting, we'll be having that discussion. So recommended action, please sign for the grant application upon receipt, and please sign the notice of award upon notification of a low bidder from Gale. This one can get pushed off. Any questions on taxiway alpha? All right. The second project is the rehabilitate golf ramp and foxtrot ramp. The grant is now in place, and the first reimbursement request for the project has been submitted to the NHGOT Bureau of Aeronautics. We have started receiving submittals from the contractor, so we are going through the review process at this time. No start date has been provided, however, but Continental will likely announce a spring start in sometime in late April, early May.
Next, I'm sorry, is this that 26, the grant 26?
Yes. So, no recommended actions at this time. Any questions on the golf and fox run project? All right. The third project is the relocation of the AWAS and SAWS. A scoping meeting for the project was held on December 19th. We followed up by submitting a draft scope of services to the NHDOT and FAA. We have not received comments back from NHDOT at this time. We have followed up and learned that Carol was out of the office. So when she's back, I'm assuming she'll get to that. The project will require two reimbursable agreements from the FAA, one for the design associated with the relocated equipment and the other for construction phase services to install the relocated equipment. These agreements must be paid ahead of time. So before the grant is issued, the NAA will have to fund those two contracts. You will get reimbursed through the grant fund. No recommended actions at this time. It's in a preliminary stage.
Next, what was, I know we may have asked this before, what's the approximate cost of this if we're funding it?
I have it on that sheet, Dave, that I submitted to the city, the matching funds portion of it, but I can get you the...
The total in here somewhere?
I can get you the totals.
Up front to you tomorrow. Share 157,895?
Yeah.
That's the city piece?
City share is 7895.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's about 160,000.
It pretty much explains how it all works with the reimbursement, et cetera.
Right, right. Okay.
Quick question on the project.
Yes.
Will the airport be without weather reporting for some period?
We will put up all of the equipment or all of the foundations, do all the site work while the AWAS operates in the current location. There may be a 2 to 3 day shutdown while everything's moved over, but I don't think it should be more than.
They have to recertify at the location.
Depending on the time, the length of time it's shut down, they may have to come out and recertify it. But I believe anything less than 48 hours.
Okay. Thank you.
We're going to bring in Al Caprillion.
Holy
cow. Put him on the radio for a couple of days to cover the gap.
For a shot.
There we go.
So that's kind of a segue to the two questions that I have. It used to be some time ago we had actual human observers. And I'm wondering if those people still exist and would we employ those during the AWAS gap?
We could. We have in our tower right now, we have two people, Brian Bean and Mark is also trained observers to actually work up at Manchester part time. So we have two people with a
weather lockout.
Mysis, weather, I mean.
Well, George Carlin.
We're just full of ideas.
Is anybody going to see George Carlin, the tippy tippy weatherman yet? Sounds like tonight, dark. Scattered like toward morning.
Who says an authority for us at forward?
Any other questions on the AWAS project?
Please, no.
All right.
Thanks, Nick. So as everyone knows, during the January authority meeting, Gail was authorized to go and solicit an appraiser and a review appraiser for the acquisition of the one parcel. I have done that. That's been done. Those two individuals are doing their work as we speak. They were out there last Wednesday doing a survey or an appraisal of the parcel. Hoping by next month I will have their fair market value, their appraisal report to present to the authority. I'm expecting it probably sooner than next month, so I don't know if this group wants to do a special meeting. I don't know what the timing is for the individual we're looking to purchase the parcel off of, if that's something that the authority wants to do, and I get the report and stuff in time, I can send it off and we can maybe schedule a special meeting for that.
Okay.
So right now, that's where that stands with those two parties. I did prepare a scope and fee. I don't know that it made its way into this package. I have it in my notes that it was sent. But if it wasn't, I did bring copies of it this evening. I have the scope. But I am looking for a vote from the board to authorize the scope and our fee, which is $23,000, which includes both the appraiser and the review appraisal services.
Okay, so I think...
Well, we have the motion. Is there any other questions or whatever?
Okay.
Just not. All right, so we'll put forward a motion to approve Gail's fee to $23,000, inclusive of appraisal and review appraisal services for the land acquisition lot on Pine Hill Road, tax map Echo E, Lot 50, and to authorize the chairman to enter into an agreement with Gail Associates.
So I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Hey, Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Okay, that motion passes.
Okay, thank you for that. I think that's all I have on that for right now until we get to new business, so.
Okay.
Is that, there's another section here.
That's part of the new business.
Okay.
Okay, so we have no outstanding committees. Old business, Greg Dixon from Infinity, and your question.
All right. Evening, everybody. Greg Dixon for the record. We are moving along, albeit sometimes at a sales pace. We're currently in the administrative portion of this. Myself, Gail Associates, and Chris have a meeting on this Tuesday with the City Planning Office to discuss next steps as far as developing that site that we've identified. They have a copy of what Gail has put together for the proposed site, and you know, that's basically it's a pre-application for a site plan. So that'll get the ball rolling to find the tax map and that's it. Did I say 1:30? I think it's 2:30 on Tuesday.
That's really kind of all I got to do right now.
That's, is that what the planning board, right?
It's with the city planning office, yeah. Well, it's just with the office, the staff.
Oh, okay, yeah. not the board.
Correct.
And Greg, that's who, for everybody, that's who reached out to me from the city, Mr. Dupree.
Okay.
Yeah. Wants to get
Sam.
Wants to get a tour of the airport.
So oh, perfect.
Knows what they're looking at.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Cool. Give them directions.
Any questions? I mean, it's dry and boring, but it moves forward. There's no, we haven't had any hiccups yet.
Are there, like, renderings or some sort of, like,
I have.
That have been drawn up.
I don't have anything with me because we're not exactly sure what the city's going to come back with as far as, you know, the shape and things like that. So what I have is not, you know. I still would like to speak with, you know, you and I spoke about what we might be able to do with this building.
Yeah.
I think there's a larger dialogue that should take place about the future of this facility and how that might, you know, come into play with what we're doing.
Right.
I don't know how we go about doing that. I mean, you do that for a week or something.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, I've been talking about this for a while, that this building next August, a year from August, is at least the first term expires, which means given what the school has done, I don't expect them to renew it. But they also have the right to sublease this building to somebody else. So I don't know if they're going to do that. If they walk away, this building goes to the airport. This building is.
Well, my personal feeling is that there is absolutely a larger discussion that you know, even with what Chris has shared earlier about the tech college's interest in the area and their ability. I mean, I think there's.
Yeah.
It just feels like there's something there.
Yes, there is.
And as I've expressed, my desire is obviously, you know, the hangar space is what's desirable, but we do need space for SBO. So if we can find other space for some of that, you know.
Sure. So the point is, why build something by incorporating it in the building? Right. there's a bunch of building here.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But, yeah, well, definitely let's keep that, you know, we had a discussion, and I like the idea of, you know, the community college coming in, what they're doing with aviation, and somewhere or something other, you get the whole coalition going here.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions for Greg this evening? Chris, I have a question along development lines. We've had a number of people contact you and, you know, make a bunch of noise about developing in generally the same area. Is that stuff kind of dried up, do you think?
Some of it has, yes, but with Greg's development and now Mr. Coe that Matt's going to talk about in a minute, Matt will give you more details on that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so yeah, that brings us to new business, and
yeah, so I think in that same vein, there has been, what, Chris, maybe a handful of individuals that have reached out. The Selman NICO is pretty serious. He's talking having to get something built much sooner rather than later. We are under contract with him to put together a schematic design set for him to take a look at. I think we came up with two options. I think one of our engineers, Danny, finished off two options this afternoon. We're going to be sending those out tonight to take a look at. There may be a third one depending on his comments and feedback. And I think the goal is to settle on something that he's satisfied with and come back to this board and, to your earlier point, have something to show you on what he's thinking, these conceptual, you know, plans and designs, and then probably follow along the same lines as Greg is and get in front of the planning board. I believe there's a subdivision requirement because of the way the airport property is sort of parsed out. So we're taking a look at that too. I think one of the things that Nick can speak to as well that we're considering in working with NICO is we're trying to position his facility that he's looking at. He's looking at one to two buildings, but making sure that we're leaving room available for other future development and not sort of choking off the grass tie-down area with these two different facilities. So we're sort of keeping that in the back of our minds as well. What Greg's proposing, what this gentleman proposing, and just keeping, you know, all options on the table and looking forward to coming back to this group and presenting that.
Does any of this affect the movement or the discussion about moving Taxiway Alpha?
No.
Well, is that a done, never going to happen kind of thing?
I don't know that I would necessarily say that, but the type of aircraft that are going to be using these facilities, I don't think warrants or necessitates the need for the relocation of Alpha. That's sort of where we landed prior to settling on reconstruction in place. But I don't think that precludes Alpha from ever being moved in the future. I mean, I think there's other aircraft that could come in and potentially look to develop that area that would necessitate that need. But right now, it doesn't exist.
So your concern is, and I agree, that we don't want to do anything today, you know, configure that space that's going to limit us in the future, including moving the taxiway. In other words, so basically, you know, without crowding everybody back up against Perimeter Road,
right,
you know, be able to still allow for development of that space given Taxiway Alpha being moved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how do folks like him know what developable lots are available? Is it in the master plan or is it?
It is. A lot of these box hangars, if you will, or corporate hangars, they're identified in the grass tie-down area, if you will. I mean, obviously you're limited on real estate. We all know that. There's areas down by India Ramp that lend itself towards, you know, additional T hangers and things like that. Your box hangers, corporate hangers, we've identified that. The grass area, the grass tie-down area is the most suitable place for that. That's been identified in the master plan. As Chris will tell you, there's been four or five, six different parties that have approached the airport looking for areas to develop. We've sat down with each and every single one of them, looked at the most logical location. That's, again, the grass tie-down area. And we're working within those constraints to try and maximize that area for the airport.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I looked
Yeah, you're really constrained on where we can go with it, so.
But that, the constraint is because of the location, current location of Taxiway Alpha.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say it's constrained because that's the only real available land to develop hangars.
Okay, but my point is that land's being restricted by a taxiway.
Well, the type of aircraft that you can operate out of there would be given with the taxiway.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there was a G650 were to come in and were to, you know, look to be housed in that area, then yeah, that would necessitate the need for Alpha to be relocated.
Because part of what I was getting at is if these don't happen, I mean, that's something we've talked about in the past, and revisiting the idea of using the marketing dollars to you know, highlight again that we have developable lots, and that's where we get our revenue from. But let's see where these all go first.
Is it somewhat chicken and egg in the sense that because of where Alpha is, your type and category is limited to X, so prospective customer would be like, well, that'd be great, except I got the other kind. Is there any of that, or is it?
I mean,
is that more theoretical?
I suspect anyone that's looking to come in and develop hangars probably isn't aware that there's a preparation issue.
They're
probably like not in their purview. Right. You know what I mean? They're not thinking about something like that. It wouldn't be until they approach the airport where we'd have that discussion. And I guess I would ask Chris if you've had anyone, you know, looking at how G6 is, where you've had to be like, well, we'd love to, except for there's this issue, and then they turn around and walk away. I'm not sure if that's happening.
Okay. Any other questions for Matt this evening? Okay, thank you. Okay, so Chris has already described the city thinking about the dates for the Wheels and Wings event this year. And that brings us to public input. The coming forward here. Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, director's comments. I'll start with Brian. I'll give a shout out to Bob Bird. I was glad to see him back. You know, I spoke to him a little bit. You know, he's looking pretty good, and he's glad to be back. He's such an asset at the airport.
Well, he very much appreciates the support of the Airport Authority and everyone here, as I mentioned in my letter. It was a real warm welcome to the people, so thank you very much.
Welcome back, David.
Kind of just expanding on that a little bit, you know, this it really demonstrates the resiliency of this airport. That you know, you can have a major tenant have their space in kind of encumbered a little bit by the injury of a key person, and that everybody, you know, the village stepped up and really did some good things. So.
Okay, Joe?
Not in agreement, but it was good to say next month, by the rate we're going, it'll be 85 degrees next meeting.
No more flowable than that.
Yeah.
Hey, and Jessica?
Yes, I do want to say welcome back to Bob. It's great that he's in better and took accommodations to the whole airport community for pulling together through that time, and it's nice to hear Shane's voice as well. But other than that, it was great to see you all in person in the last meeting, and hopefully I'll be joining you in a new one soon.
Okay, thank you, Phil. So, adjournment to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91-A:32A, the dismissal promotion for compensation of an employee. Motion to adjourn to executive session.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
Aye.
Okay, roll call, please.
Okay, Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yep.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Okay, for making the adjournment, thank you.